going through this journey that we're on, to realize that God really is faithful. He does want what's best for each one of us, and that His glory should be our number one priority in life, to come before Him and just bask in His glory, bask in His presence, and allow Him to have His way. In life, we have so many seasons and things that come against us, trials and tribulations. But tonight, I want to share a message, not so much too much about us, but everything about Him, to bring glory to Him, the faithful God. Amen. And He's asked us to have faith in Him. And when we are faithless, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, when we are faithless, He is faithful. So in other words, we are lacking faith, but He is full of faith, and He is the source of our faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's words. Let us open in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before You and thank You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You guide every word, every step, every heart in this house tonight, Lord Jesus, as we send forth Your word, Lord. We surrender all that we are, all that we ever hope to be, and we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the faithful God. You are the one that will never let us down, and we want to give You all of the praise for it. We want to be coming before You tonight with thanksgiving in our hearts, with a pep in our step and joy in our hearts, Lord, so that we know, Lord, that salvation belongs to You and You gave it to us, so that we now have a living hope. We now have a hope where there was no hope, and we've been set free. And He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name we give You thanks. Bless Your word tonight. Amen. Just a few points I just want to bring forward. We're going to have a study tonight about an Old Testament study, what I want to share with you. But tonight, faithful. I want to just define faithful. What is it to be faithful? Some of you may have a pet at home, in particular a dog. A dog is always looked at as a faithful servant of its master. Except our dog at home isn't. But dogs are faithful. They'll stand in front of a bullet. They'll go and attack a snake. They'll do anything because they're faithful. They are so loyal that they're willing to give their life up for you and for me. Has anyone had a dog that's done that for them? I'm sure, or know of someone. I'm just using the dog as an example. But I want to share with you tonight this definition that I found, and it's the definition of faithful. Unfailing, remaining loyal to someone and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of the circumstances. Consistently being loyal. Sometimes it's a bit hard for us to be loyal to people who aren't loyal to us. Sometimes it's a bit hard for us to be loyal to someone who's hurt us. But God knows that better than any of us. Who believes in here tonight that you've treated God absolutely perfectly from the day you were born? Who believes that you've obeyed Him totally? None of us. And yet He's faithful to us. Yet He wants what's best for us. Yet He wants to pull us out of the miry clay. He wants to go out there in the streets and see the drug addict or the prostitute, and He wants to bring them in and embrace them with His love. God's faithfulness is inexhaustible. God's mercy, God's grace, every attribute of God is inexhaustible. You can't outlove God. You can't be more kind than God. You can't be more merciful than God. You can't be more anything than God. And in a world that is so against the Christian faith, so against believers, I think that we would do well if we know in our hearts that God is faithful in every circumstance, and that as He is faithful to us in every circumstance, we need to be faithful to Him in every circumstance. Amen. And I want you to get that into your spirit tonight. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures just to confirm scripturally that God is faithful. And the first scripture I want to share tonight is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Just going to read these. You don't have to turn to them. We'll be doing a Bible study shortly. But we need to learn to rest in the faithfulness of God. And one such person who did that was Paul. The Apostle Paul, he rested in the faithfulness of God. He was in the Corinthian church addressing divisions and factions in that church. There was problems there. And one of the things he said in verse 9 here of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is a man who knew God was faithful more than anyone perhaps in this room, is that he was walking away when his name was Saul. He was doing his own thing. He was thinking he was offering a service to God, but he was against the kingdom of God. And he says these words, God is faithful. I've seen a lot. I've consented to the stoning of Stephen. I've put Christians in prison. I've murdered Christians. I've consented to the murder of Christians. But then I had that Damascus Road experience, and the faithful God came and knocked on the door of my heart. I was blinded, and that as I was blinded, I was woken up. So while my natural man was blind, I could actually see spiritually. Sometimes when we're in the natural, something's going wrong. God's trying to get something spiritual to us. He's trying to get us to see something. And that's exactly what happened with Paul. And Paul, writing pretty much 2/3 of the New Testament, what a blessing it is to read his writings and to live and apply those to our lives. But he knew God, his God, your God, my God, he is faithful. Amen. In Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. I'm just going to read through some passages here. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. Forever, O Lord. Psalm 119 and verses 89 and 90. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. He who calls you is faithful, who will also bring it to pass. And my favorite scripture, which I will conclude that little segment with, is 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to encourage you tonight, but more than that, I want to encourage you to worship God and give thanks to him for his faithfulness. There's so many things in our lives that come against us. There's people in our lives that come against us. We come against ourselves sometimes. The enemy wants to come in like a flood, coming against us. But I know that we serve a faithful God. And if God said it in heaven, and it's forever settled in heaven, as the scripture we just read, if it's settled in heaven, it's settled here. Amen? Because God said so. If God says it, that settles it. If you can get that into your spirit and believe that there is a God watching over you, every moment of every day. I can't watch over my wife every moment of every day, even though I would like to. I'd like to be there, especially with her health condition. But I can't do that. But God can. And I had a vision one day, a long time ago. It was a thought or a vision, whatever you want to call it. It's nothing too spiritual. But it's something that I really do believe that I want to share with you tonight. And that was that I just believed, like, we're all lined up before the living God, before Jesus himself. And it's as if there's a line going all the way to the south and all the way to the north of people, you and me, believers. But the Lord is right in front of me, personally, speaking to me, speaking into my life, knowing every hair that is on my head and the count of it, the number of hairs that are on my head. Knowing every thought before I think it, knowing every action before I do it, and every word before I speak it. He knows everything about me, and he can communicate with me at that very moment. But do you know the majestic, wonderful, awesome, splendid, whatever the words I can get out of my mouth tonight, thing is about this story, is that God said, that's not just for you, and I can do all that at once. So I can speak to every person to the south, and every person in that line to the north at the same time, and I know everything about them at the same time. That's something to praise God about. That's something to really get into your spirit and say, wow, wow, I stand in awe. We sing songs like, I stand in awe of you. That's standing in awe of God. He knows everything. And above all that, he's the God of all love, and he's a faithful God. And he wants to be faithful to your situation, to your life. In 2 Timothy, and I touched on this at the start, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. So when the wheels are falling off, when your faith is just really dry, you ever been dry in your faith? Have you ever thought, oh, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this situation? I can guarantee if you look to God at that time, you may have had it previous, you may have it and probably will have it in the future. But if you can look to the author and the finisher of your faith, he will bring you through the storm. He'll bring you through the trial. He'll bring you through the fire. And he'll set your feet upon a rock, and that rock's name is Jesus. And that rock shall never be moved. And his glory will manifest and flow out of you like fathomless billows, day in, day out. Staying in his presence when we're worshiping up here. This isn't just worship with music and microphones and singing. That's part of worship. But our worship is our very selves. These temples of the Holy Spirit that he's blessed us with. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not made with hands, not human hands, but made with the power of the living God. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And now I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be very careful what I expose this temple to. But one thing I do want to expose this temple to is the faithfulness of God. To trust in him with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, all my soul, and love him in the same way. His nature is absolute truth. So you might be saying, Anthony, I get what you're saying, but can it be trusted? Can I really trust God on my next challenge that awaits me? Can I really trust the Lord that he's going to come through, that he's going to be faithful? And my answer to that is yes. Whether you get the answer to the prayer that you're wanting, I can't give you that answer. But will God be faithful? Yes, because he is faithful. And I'm going to share a story tonight. And this story is one of many, many attributes, I guess. And it's one of hospitality. It's one of discernment. It's one of faith. It's also one of blessing. It's one of the, like an example within this story of the promises of God in someone's life. And it's also a story of loss. It's also a story of things not going totally as planned. But then it is also a story of restoration. And this is story that I'm speaking of tonight, which we're going to study, is the story found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And if you have your Bibles there, we're just going to turn to that and we're going to study through. If you haven't got your Bibles there, that's all right. You can just listen. And I just pray God's blessing on his word. I'm just going to read through and study as we go. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, we're dealing with the prophet Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha. Elisha was the recipient of the double portion blessing of his predecessor. Does anyone know his predecessor's name? Elijah, with a J-A-H. So this man of God is walking in the anointing. He's walking in the power of the Spirit, and he's also very aware of the faithful God. And he wants to share that not just with himself and those close to him, but he wants to share that with everyone he comes across. And that should be our attitude as well. And as we pick up here in verse 8, we see Elisha on his way to Mount Carmel, the same place where his predecessor Elijah had that great Mount Carmel victory of the 450 prophets of Baal, Jezebel's prophets. But we're not talking about that tonight. Verse 8, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make an upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came, there, and he turned in to the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, which his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. We're looking here, Elisha's coming through. This woman is showing such hospitality and such love, unconditional love for this man of God. So she's showing this hospitality, but she's also showing another attribute, and that attribute is discernment. She knows that this is a man of God. There's something special about this man, Elisha. So much so that she talks to her husband and tries to persuade her husband, let's build a room for this man. Let's be a blessing to him. You know, sometimes when we're entertaining strangers, we're entertaining angels. Sometimes when we're entertaining strangers, we're right in the center, dead center in the middle of God's will, because God has asked us to do this and we can't understand why. Why do you want me to put this person up? Why do you want me to help that person? Why do you want me to bless this person with something? In doing so, we're offering service unto the Lord. And there's great blessing in that. And we're being faithful. And that's exactly what we see here with this woman. She's willing to give up her home, part of her home even, to build an upper room for Elisha. So when he would pass back and forward on his travels, on his ministry travels, as it were, that he would have somewhere to stay, that he'd have somewhere to pray. But not only that, she opened her house up, not to Elisha, but she opened up to the living God. She opened it up, her home, to the blessing of God to come into her house. Who wants the blessing of God in their house? I want the blessing of God in my house. And I got a doormat years ago from one of the organizations that I was a part of. And it was a doormat that said, blessed coming in, blessed going out. And we put it at the door. So when you're going in, it says, blessed coming in, blessed going out. You know, God wants you to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. Blessed in the country, blessed in the city. Blessed because he's the God of blessing. He's the God of faithfulness. And this woman was not just entertaining Elisha, the man of God, but she was entertaining God himself. And as a result, Elisha tells his servant Gehazi, as we read, what can we do for this woman? What can we do for you? And the woman wasn't interested in getting favor with the king or the politics. She wasn't interested in any of that. But what is the blessing that she received? Does anyone know? Let's read on. I'll read it. Sorry? Pregnancy. Now, we don't know if she was barren, but we know that they were older descent. So we're going to read on here, if I can find it, from verse 15. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Pregnancy. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your servant. Now, that's an oxymoron if I've ever heard one. A man of God, do not lie. Does that make sense? Keep going. No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elijah had told her. Do you know, in life, sometimes we want things done today. And we don't trust in this faithful God that I'm preaching on tonight. But do you know what? All the time, there's an appointed time. There's an appointed time for that breakthrough. If you're believing in here for a relative, a husband, a wife, a child, or a grandparent, whoever, to be saved, to be, you know, receive Jesus Christ, there's an appointed time for that. I can testify, and my mum's here tonight, I can testify that her prayers were blessed of the Lord to see me standing up here sharing the word of God tonight, because I was walking away from God. I wasn't interested in the things of God. But her prayers, I believe, were part of the deal, part of the blessing, her as a parent and me as a human being, to receive of that gift of salvation instead of going and doing my own things. There was many times that I told my parents I was going to Toowoomba and I was really going to the Gold Coast to have a party. And I wasn't a terrible, terrible rebel, but I wasn't exactly where I should have been. But I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, right through that, was faithful. He was faithful to my mum's prayers, and he was faithful to me, even though I was not faithful to him or my parents or anyone, to tell you the truth. But God is a good God. He's a faithful God. And when we're looking here, there is an appointed time, and that appointed time for me came one night. I went to a nightclub in Brisbane, and I was the designated driver that night, and I was out on the dance floor, and there was a big fight that took place, which I wasn't a part of, but it sort of shook me up a bit, because I could easily have got a swing in the head quite easily. And it wasn't, well, they weren't little boys, they were big boys, glass going everywhere, this major, major thing. And I went home, and I got home about 5 a.m. that morning, and I slept until 4 p.m. that afternoon. And the next day, that was a Friday night. This is a Saturday that I slept all day. I was just zonked, obviously, because I'd been up all night. But the next day I said, no, I've got to get my life right. God placed something, the faithful God, the prayers of a faithful, fervent mum availeth much. I went to the Jimboomba Baptist Church that very next Sunday morning. And I commenced going to that church. I received Jesus Christ. I rededicated. I'd already received Jesus Christ, but I was in a backslidden state. And I went to that church, and I didn't stop going to that church for about 6 months. And in that 6 months, the pastor asked me to preach on one Sunday night. And I've shared this story before. You may have heard it. I shared because he couldn't work out. I was the only one in the congregation not in my head. When he was preaching, I was agreeing with what he was saying. And he's come up to me one day and he said, you just have something. You have something happening there. And I don't know what it is, but do you want to preach next Sunday night? And I said, well, yeah. And I was really nervous, of course. I was petrified because I'd never preached before. But the Lord made a way. And that night I preached on being led by the Holy Spirit. Because that is something that was so close to my heart at the time, because I had not been led by the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to know more about being led by the Holy Spirit. You ever had that, a situation in your life, and then God just opens up something in the scriptures that is so related to what you've just been going through, and it's such a blessing. And you know what? Another thing, when you preach a message out of what you've been living, there is a power in that, because there's a passion. And there is a life-changing commitment in your heart that you want to transfer to the hearts of the congregation. But I just give God all of the thanks for that Jimboomba Baptist Church, that I went there. I stayed there for 6 months before I moved. I had to leave Jimboomba, so I had to leave. But from that point on was a turning point. And it was all because I serve a faithful God who wasn't going to give up on me. Because I was in a backslidden state, and I just give him all of the glory for it. I got a bit off the track there, but I wanted to share that testimony. As we read on here, the woman has been blessed with this child because of her faithfulness to a faithful God. And in verse 18, we go on and it says, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him home to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Is this the blessing of God for someone who has been faithful to God, and now this blessing is being taken away? Is that how you see it? That's how I see it. I see it that this woman has been blessed with a child. Initially, we'll read on, and this will get better, so don't get too doomy and gloomy. This will get better, I promise you, because we serve the God of all faithfulness. But this woman has this child. She nurtures and grows this child. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say how old this child was, maybe 9 or 10 as speculation. But this child goes into the field, has a major medical episode, goes back to his mother, sits in there until noon, and then dies. This is the blessing that Elisha promised. And now the blessing's dead. Have you ever been promised something and it hasn't come through? Have you ever been promised something and it's failed? All of us could put our hands up. But this woman, instead of preparing the funeral and planning the funeral for her son, what does she do? Let's read on. Verse 20, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, then died. Verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God. Isn't that tenacious? I'm going to run to the man of God. Who's the man of God in this story? Elisha. She's going to run to the man of God. So he said, why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. There's no feast, no festivals. And she said, everyone say this. If you're going through a situation, I want you to say this word. These three words, it is well. It is well. Now, is it well? Is everything right in her house? Has she got a dead son in the upper room? Would you say it's well? No. But through the eye of faith, what she's looking through, the eye of faith, it is well. Because she serves the faithful God, it is well. Amen. This woman is an inspiration. Verse 24, then she saddled the donkey, or a donkey, and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now and meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it's all good with me. It's all good with my husband, but my child's dead. Did she say that? You haven't got your Bibles there, so you can't answer that most probably. So I'll answer it for you. Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. The statement of faith. It is well. Seeing those things that be not as though they were, as though they are. Knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has this situation in your life all under control because he's a faithful God. This lady knew through probably her relationship and perhaps conversations and teachings of Elisha. Perhaps this is where this faith was coming from to a certain extent. Obviously, she had something pretty special before that. But I'm sure this relationship with this man of God, this sewing her upper room, making this upper room for the man of God. Now she's been blessed with this child. The child's been taken away. And now she's in a position where she is still saying, Lord, whatever you do to me, I'm still going to praise you. Whatever happens, whatever goes wrong, I'm still going to say, it's all okay. It is well. Because I know that I serve the faithful God. She did not falter. Do we falter? All the time. All the time. So this is why I think this is so special, this story. And we can learn so much from it. Verse 26, please run now to meet her. Sorry, we'll go to 27. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Isn't it amazing? When we want to go to God, there's always someone, even someone maybe in the church, to try and push us away. Oh, you can't do that. You know, religion will always get in the way. Religion will always get in the way, but relationship will always make the way. It'll always show you the way. And this is what Elisha sees. He's also has the gift of discernment, obviously endowed with the Holy Spirit himself as an Old Testament prophet. But he sees the distress. He sees the pain within in the spirit. She is going through something, yet she is staying strong in faith and saying, it is well. Despite the circumstances, I know that all is going to be well. And I want you to take that on board. If you take nothing else home tonight, take that on board, that it is well. It is well with your soul, and it is well in your situation, whatever you're facing. God may not answer it the way you want it to, but he will come through, and he will make you see things in a new light. Verse 28, so she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. I'm just going to read this through. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them. So they're all on the road, but Gehazi is ahead, and laid the staff, and Gehazi, this is the servant of Elisha, laid the staff, Elisha's staff, on the face of the child, but there was neither voice or hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on the bed. And he went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child. And this is interesting. He put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child, this is the breakthrough, this is where it is well. The child sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. What a breakthrough. Satan come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He come to steal that blessing. Gehazi did what was right in his master's eyes, in his earthly master, Elisha. He did. He put the staff on there. It didn't work. But Elisha comes, and he invests everything within him upon this child, the prayer of intercession. His hands on his hands, his eyes on his eyes, his mouth on his mouth. He stretched out over this child and completely smothered him in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the healing came. This young child was restored. And now, even though it's not actually said right there, I don't believe, now it is well. It is well. This woman could see through the eye of faith. Did she know this was going to happen? I don't know, but she believed that she'd served the God of all faithfulness. Amen. I want you to receive that. We're just going to finish that story off real quick. I'm not sure where we were up to. It's knee seven times down here, 36. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. And he called her. And when she picked him up, when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet and bowed to the ground, then picked up her son and went out. What a precious story. Did you get that? I hope you got that story. Don't worry about my preaching, but I hope you got that story. And I'd like you to go home and read that story sometime and just get that right into your spirit, because the Shunammite woman, she showed hospitality, she showed faith, she showed discernment. She received the promises of God and had a revelation of the promises of God, saying, it is well, it's going to be fine. She didn't look at the circumstances that were against her. And she held on to the blessing that God had blessed her with. God does not withdraw his blessings. The scriptures actually talk about, in relation to giftings as well, that the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Have you ever had a gift that you know was from God and then you've turned away from? That, you know, that you thought, well, I was gifted in that area at one time in my life, but I'm just not gifted there anymore and I don't feel called. You know, if you were called once and it was ordained of God once, that's for keeps. Amen? God doesn't change his mind. He's not a man that he should lie either. He doesn't jump back and do backflips like we do, like this world does, that one day it's this and one day it's that, that God is the God of all truth. I want you to be encouraged by that story tonight, and I just want to close with a couple of points here that I just wrote in the notes, is that the woman was a prominent, great She was an important woman in her time. After the blessing the man of God, she positioned herself to receive of the blessing. And in the midst of that blessing, when that blessing was stripped from her seemingly, she still held on to her faith in the God of all faithfulness. When we exercise our faith, it's like, I don't know really how to explain this, but if I exercise the faith that is God-authored in my heart, if I exercise that in His kingdom, it works. Amen? Because it's His. It belongs to, the faith that I have belongs to Him. And everything that I choose to believe, as long as it is in accordance with His word, as long as it is, I must stress that, as long as it's in accordance with His word, He will honor that. He will be faithful to that, and He'll set the sinner free. If you've got someone in your life that is walking away from God and you're really worried about it, I just want you to say these words, "It is well." I titled this, "God is faithful," but maybe I should have titled this message, "It is well." Because I've said it a few times tonight, but it is well. Her blessing, the Shunammite woman's blessing, was restored to her. Her son was restored, and they would have had many years after that as a family. In Micah 7, 7 and 8, it says, "Rejoice not, my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And I've come to give you life and to give you life in abundance." And I just want to make a statement here tonight. If I was to die tonight, I can honestly say in my heart and in my life that God has been faithful to me. He's been faithful to Jody. He's been faithful to my family. He's been so good, so wonderful, and He has never, ever failed me, even though at times I felt as though He has. At times I felt as though He was asleep on the situation. We're going to come around the communion table, and I want you to just give all the glory to God tonight for being faithful in your situation. You might be going through something tonight that is a real challenge, but He wants to deliver you from it. He wants to lift you up, and He wants to give you hope because He's the faithful God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for Your goodness. Your goodness follows us all the days of our life. And as we come to this communion table, Lord, I thank You that we can honor and reverence You and give You the glory that You deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.